flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in this hemisphere, in the world. That's what we do. It's AST. And we got a lot to talk about right now. This was with... I cannot think of anything to even put in the same conversation. Off the field, not on the field, off the field, this was the busiest week for Atlanta United in their history. This was the busiest week off the field for soccer in the city of Atlanta in its history. A record amount of money was spent on transfers. Two incredibly impactful players were signed and announced. Played a preseason game in between the two as well. We'll talk about that. It was a monster week that has really changed the power structure in Major League Soccer for 2025 and hopefully for beyond. I feel like when we signed off last Tuesday, we weren't quite sure what we'd be talking about this week. We didn't really know. Miguel Almiron looked like it was done at that point, but it wasn't done yet, and that ended up getting done, and he was introduced to the media on Friday. Emmanuel Latelath, or Latelath, as I believe he is preferring to be called, and we'll get confirmation once we get a chance to sit down with him and chat with him. Latelath, I didn't know what was going to happen here exactly because it was a very complicated situation all the way around. You had things being dropped into the Italian press, which had nothing to do with an English club and an American club and a player playing in England from the Ivory Coast. He did develop in Italy and his agent is from Italy. His agent, by the way, has not posted anything about his signing, which is very strange because he's posted things about other people's signings and the agency has as well. So I'm very confused by lots of things that have happened with the Latelath deal. It got done, though. eventually Middlesbrough, when it wasn't 100%, even by the weekend, that they were going to be able to get a replacement in place and time, they did. And they brought in a player on loan from Spain, a player with English league experience. Made a lot of sense. They get that deal done. And then this morning, it is officially announced by both clubs that Latte Laff is going to play for Atlanta United. You've seen pictures of him already if you follow Atlanta United on your social media platforms. Pictures of him at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Very cool week for Atlanta United. Let's start with Miguel Almiron. And you guys know him as a player. I do want to see who he is as a player in this league, in this team in 2025. He spoke to the media on Friday, and it was just one really good to see him and really good to hear from him. I've said it a few times over the past few days. I was really struck by just how sure of himself he came off. You know, when he was here before, he was younger. He hadn't traveled out of South America. I think he was, you know, a little more shy. He seemed very confident in, like, all the best ways of being confident. He seemed very confident on Friday speaking to the media. He seemed very happy about being back. I think it's a really good move for him. It's a great move for the club. And this is not purely a nostalgia move either. And I think that's the component to it. I'm always reluctant, as I've said before, about just making the nostalgia play. Miguel Almiron has a lot more to give. And while he might not have the same breakneck speed that he had when he was younger, when he was here and lifting MLS Cup, he's not that far off. And if he can adjust his game, recalibrate his game, it's something that I always remember Diego Maradona talking about when he moved to Serie A from playing in La Liga and previously playing in Argentina. He talked about how he had to basically do that, recalibrate his game to a different league, a different style, a different challenge. Miguel Almiron's going to have to do that as well. And he will. It will help him that he knows the league and he's been in the league. It's a different league now. It is. But he will be able to adjust because of the experience that he's gained in England. So I'm really excited to see him on the field wearing the Atlanta United kit again. Not sure how soon that will happen, but really excited for that to happen sooner rather than later. We'll talk about the Birmingham Legion friendly win over the weekend. We'll talk about that in the next segment. We'll get into that one a little bit more deeply from a just on the field perspective. But let's jump ahead to the Emmanuel Latte Lath edition. It was announced this morning by both Atlanta United and Middlesbrough. Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette spoke to our friend John Nelson on SDH AM Soccer Down Here yesterday morning. And this is what he had to say when asked by John about what to expect when you see Latte Lath on the
field. You know, is obviously his goals. He's a natural goal scorer, an excellent finisher. He needs to be serviced. I wouldn't say he's the type of striker who's going to create many of his own chances. He's not going to get on the ball and kind of beat men with skill or anything like that and create his own chances. But give him the ball in and around the box, and 9 times out of 10, he'll put it in the back of the net. He's also incredibly fast. He loves running off the last shoulder of a defender and getting him behind. So if you can service him in that way, he's very good on that side. I must admit, not entirely sure how Atlanta usually play and usually set up, but he loves to press. He's really, really hard working, uses that that pace really well to kind of hassle defenders when defenders are on the ball, doesn't give them a moment's breath, really. And he's a kind of striker where he would just be a defender's nightmare because he's constantly on the move. He's constantly putting pressure on you when you're on the ball, and he's constantly moving about, looking for space, looking for a route in behind when his team have the ball. So he's just a really lively player, really active player. I always say he likes chaos, Emmanuel Latte. If you can provide chaos in and around the box, he just has this kind of natural instinct for kind of thriving off that and being in the right place at the right time.
He loves chaos. I love to hear that. That's Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette on what to expect from Latte Lath on the field for Atlanta United. I'm Jason Longshore. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We're talking about the huge week for Atlanta United, where they spent, depending on the reports and depending what the actual checks going out are, somewhere over $30 million to bring in Miguel Almiron and Latte Lath. Biggest expenditure on Latte Lath in league history, biggest transfer fee received by Middlesbrough as well in their history. Combine the two, biggest spend in a week's time, probably in MLS history. I don't know if that one's been tracked or not yet. It's huge. What's the context of this? If you are a Atlanta United fan, if you're just an Atlanta sports fan, I think from an Atlanta sports fan perspective, we always want to see our clubs be bold, be aggressive, and do whatever it takes to win. Spend what is necessary to give yourself the best chance to win. Never guarantees anything. But if you have a better talented roster on the field, in the locker room, you should win more, right? That's something that Arthur Blank said he would do from day one with Atlanta United, and he has. And this exemplifies it. They brought in a huge amount of money in the summer window last year, and they tried to spend some of it. They did spend some of it on Alexei Maranchuk. They tried to spend more of it. They ended up spending it here, bringing in two very impactful players in Miguel Almiron and Latte Lath. Really excited to see what they can bring. If you're an Atlanta United fan and you're maybe a little bit deeper into this and you're wondering what the context of this is, you know, what does it mean? It means that Atlanta United is an MLS Cup contender for the first time since 2019. I think that's fair. You know, you look at 2022 on paper going into that season. You look at 2024 in a lot of ways on paper going into that season. And the club had high expectations. I don't think you could legitimately say that they were an MLS Cup contender going into the season since 2019, when they were coming off of a championship. 2019, they were very, very close to doing that again. They didn't get that done. You never know how long that window is going to stay open. What these moves do is they push that window open. Now, for how long? I don't know. I can't tell you. I wish I had the crystal ball. I don't have the magic eight ball in front of me either. I don't know. But it gives you an opportunity to be on paper among the elite teams in this league. And yes, that includes Inter Miami. That includes, I think, the Seattle Sounders in the Western Conference. I don't know if it includes the defending cup champions, the LA Galaxy, at this stage because of Ricky Pucci's injury, because of Dejan Jovalich being sold to Kansas City. I don't know if it includes them. I don't know if it includes LAFC. I think right now, and there will be more moves and things will happen, I think right now your three MLS Cup contenders on paper on February 4th, it's Atlanta United, it's Inter Miami, and it's the Seattle Sounders. I think those are your three. Maybe there's another one that will emerge. Columbus, they sold Cucho Hernandez. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Cincinnati, they might be selling Luciano Acosta. They might be adding a player. There's lots of mights and maybes and ifs. Right now, it's Atlanta, it's Miami, and it's Seattle. I think those are your three MLS Cup contenders. What does the lineup look like on paper as we wrap up this first segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight? I don't know if Miguel Almiron's going to be on the left or the right. I don't think he'll be in the middle. I think Alexei Maranchuk will be there. But in the course of the game, I think Almiron will be on the left, the right, and the middle. I think Saba Lobjanidze will be on the left and the right. I think Maranchuk will be on in the middle, but he'll drift to the right or the left. I think you're going to have a very fluid attack. Latte Lath, as you heard from Craig Johns of the Middlesbrough Gazette, he likes to get in behind. He likes to play off of the last shoulder of the back line. He wants to get in behind. He wants that ball over the top. He's incredibly fast. He loves to press. We'll talk about that pressing and that counter-pressing here in a bit as well, especially when we go back to look at the Birmingham win from the weekend. Okay, so you have a front four. We'll include Moranchuk, even though you're not going to be asking him to do as much in the pressing side of it and the getting in behind side of it. Szabo will get in behind and he'll press. Almiron will get in behind and he'll press. Late Lath will get in behind and he'll press. That's going to be a lot of speed for opposing defenses to worry about. Moranchuk pulling the strings. Bartosz Szlich, Mateusz Klik, sometimes Jay Fortune, sometimes Tristan Muyamba. They're going to be pulling the strings in that midfield. They've got to be the link between the back line and the front, because you have two fullbacks when they are healthy, and Pedro Amador and Brooks Lennon, who love to get forward, and you want to get them involved in the attack because they are elite chance creators in this league over the past couple of seasons. Amador in a limited time frame last season since joining the team. Brooks Lennon over the last two seasons, really since he arrived in Atlanta, elite chance creation from a fullback. Center back, Derek Williams and Steon Gregersen. They've got to stay healthy. They did not play on Saturday in Birmingham. Gregersen has had injury issues. Williams had a few as the season went on last year. You do have Noah Cobb. You do have Efrain Morales. You do have Luis Abram as well there. You've got competition at center back, maybe due to some rotation due to injuries. You've got competition in the central midfield. You've got depth on the wings with Edwin Mosquera and Sean De Silva chomping at the bit to get playing time. You've got Jamal Tiare and Kamen Togashi up top who are going to push to get on the field as well. You have a lot of depth. You have a really strong first 11. You have a good second 11. This team on paper is built to contend for trophies. And on SDH AM this morning, the question came up after the Late Lath news came out. What is success? What is failure? What is that for Atlanta in 2025? I think you have to be playing for trophies in 2025 for it to be a successful season. You can't guarantee winning it, but I think you have to be playing for that to be successful. We'll take a look at one of the first steps in that process, a win over the weekend in Birmingham in a preseason friendly. We'll talk about that. We'll get caught up on some news from around Major League Soccer right after this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.